OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties, one county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that bald spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7.30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network.
Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Now then, you're very welcome back. So it should be a Champions League evening. Sadly, it is not. But we have, instead of doing the Champions League previews as we usually would at this time on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, been taking a trip down memory lane. David McWilliams has picked out Leeds' 0-1 semi-final campaign. We had Neil Mellor on talking about the Olympiacos game where he scored and headed down the ball for Gerrard's take a bow, sun strike. We had Ken Doherty talking about United in 99. David Myler was on last night and he was remembering a year ago where he was, frankly, watching his one of his best friends, Jordan Henderson, winning the Champions League and at the after party as well in the hotel. So more a tale of misery coming up, I'm afraid. We are dragging Everton fans back to 2005 and the one that got away. To do so, we'll have Kevin Kilbane, also a Virgin Media pundit, and Virgin Media are keeping you going with weekends packed with live, with old classic matches. All weekend on Virgin at the moment. Kev, you're there, you can hear me?
Yeah, I've got you there, Joe. You keeping well?
Very well, very, very, very well. I was watching on Virgin at the weekend, they had Fulham against Manchester United from 1964, and it was dreadful.
Was it? I listened to Jer and Nathan talking about the Italia 90, Ireland-England game in Italia 90, Nathan talking about how dreadful it was. Some of the games you look back on, it wasn't all great, was it? Let's be honest. And obviously the pitches had an effect on that as well. But I have a different memory of watching certainly the Ireland side around that time than the lads do, because it was new to me, certainly when I was a kid watching the teams. But it's interesting when you watch games back, isn't it?
Very interesting. I mean, never let the previous generation tell you it was better in my day. I don't think it ever was.
Yeah. Well, what does Graeme Souness say? You've got the best pitches. You know, everything's better, isn't it? So, you know, what would it be like if they had the pitches then? That's what Graeme Souness always says, doesn't he?
It's a fair point, I suppose. So what's going on? You're keeping well?
Everything's great, yeah. Not bad at all. Just a bit of sunshine's coming out now, so you can't complain, can you? You've just got to just see it out and then see what happens in the coming weeks, haven't we?
We are forcing you and our fellow guest on with us, Leon Osman, to relive 2005 and the one that got away, I guess, for that Everton team. Leon, you're there. You can hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. Good to speak to you.
Great to have you with us. So we have Kev, who was at Goodison from 03 to 06, 104 appearances in your time there, Kev. And then Leon, you're a one-club man, really. 1998 FA Youth Cup and then Premier League debut.
He's not a one-club man, Joe. Oh, Derby and Carlisle. Don't forget about Derby and Carlisle. He had a couple of loan moves there.
They still talk about him there, do they?
Yeah, they do. They do at Derby.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy with that.
Well, aside from those brief stints, Everton from Premier League debut in 03. I know you played a couple of games before that, but Premier League debut 03 right through until 2016. So you clearly liked the place, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed my time, you know, from when I was 10 years old, walking through the door, it just felt fantastic, you know, felt really comfortable being behind those gates at Belfield originally, you know, the way that the club felt, how the club treated me as well. So, you know, that lasted throughout my career and, you know, it was only when I eventually left the club, as you said, in 2016, that I'd realised how long I'd actually been at the club.
Kev, you obviously moved around and got to see other clubs and other dressing rooms. As I remember, from when we've talked, I did not call you a mercenary. I'm just saying that's putting it kindly.
Yeah, something like that, Joe.
You enjoyed Goodison, though. You enjoyed your time at Everton, as I understand.
Yeah. No, I honestly look back and I think with regret about leaving Everton the way that I did, and I loved it from the moment I arrived, and I was lucky that I walked into a dressing room there, I think, at Everton, where we had so many characters, so many strong characters. Leon just came in at the end of that season when I'd first signed. And so we had a small squad of players, realistic, that were ever going to play. We probably had 14, 15 players, which even then was quite unusual, because most squads would have been 20 to 25 players. We had 14, 15 players max, really, who I'd say David Moyes could have trusted. And that was how we were. And that's why I think that season in particular, why we gelled so well, because we had a good understanding of each other. We had great camaraderie within that dressing room. But I honestly think that we had so many really strong characters, even Leon coming in. I said, Leon, I know I joked there about his two loan moves that he had, but he'd had a bit of experience. He'd been around the club for a long time and he knew what the place was all about. And he brought something else to that dressing room as well, and to that squad of players. And that's why that season was, so well, the old 3-0-4 season, or the 0-4-0-5 season, sorry, was very special, yeah.
Looking at the team, it's the Everton before the likes of Jagielka and Lescott arrived, that rebuilding that David Moyes did. It's more the likes of Nigel Martin, Tony Hibbert obviously there, David Weir, Phil Neville's arrived, Arteta's there, Tim Cahill's there, Kev, you're there, Leon's obviously there, Duncan Ferguson is still playing, and Bent is up front with him as well. So it's that kind of slightly earlier vintage. To finish fourth, just to set the scene, Leon, before we get into the Villarreal game, to finish fourth in the 04-05 season, quite remarkable for Everton. Chelsea won the league. This was, you know, Mourinho in his pomp doing his thing. Arsenal were second. Manchester United, that was a rebuilding phase for them under Ferguson. And then Everton fourth and Liverpool fifth. That is quite extraordinary. Kev gave an insight there into why he felt it worked. What do you remember of that period under Moyes and that season finishing fourth? Because it was fairy tale stuff.
Well, it was fairy tale stuff. The end of the previous season, we finished 17th. You know, we were one place above the relegation zone. It wasn't, the atmosphere around the club was not fantastic. Yes, we, as Kev said, the characters were in the dressing room were fantastic, but for some reason it just wasn't clicking, and very disappointed with how that season went. And throughout the summer, you know, David Moyes was tipped to be the first manager out the door once the season started. Everton were tipped for relegation. So, as you say, to finish the season in the Champions League positions was extraordinary. But you know, we went away in the summer to a pre-season. We went to Austria and then we went to Houston. And for whatever reason, the club just, the players really gelled, you know, that, as Kev said as well, there was only 14, 15 players, and that was all we needed. Not one of those players wanted to miss a game. They were always available to play. You know, David Moyes never really had any injury problems because everybody was desperate not to lose their own position. And it was the camaraderie, it was the team, it was the desire that was in that squad that started the season well. And up until Christmas, we were playing such good football, albeit counter-attack football. We relied heavily on scoring quite on the counter attack more often than not, but it was a fantastic first 6 months of that season.
Yeah,
I just say one thing. I add to that though, Joe. Sorry, yeah. You say Chelsea finished top in that season, and we went to Stamford Bridge. It was around, I don't know, October times, November time. I'm not exactly sure when it was.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best games that I would have played in, because Chelsea, you know, Robin, Duff, Drogba, Lampard, Terry, they had a brilliant side, and I think they knew that we went to Stamford Bridge, we lost 1-0, Robin scored late on, I think it's around the 70, 75th minute or something of the game. And Mourinho, I remember Jose Mourinho coming onto the pitch after the game, coming up to every one of our players saying, you're our top side. And I know Mourinho's full of that, but they knew then, and I think we probably knew from that game against Chelsea, that we had something special. We had Gravesen early on that season, who was free to do what he needed. We had Carsley, who just sat in the middle and did his job. Tim Cahill, that could go and do what he wanted. Maybe I was within the side. My job was maybe to try and get us up the pitch at times. We had a really solid back four. Nigel Martin, who I think Leon would say, I think certainly post Neville Southall will be Everton's best goalkeeper, hands down, because he was just sensational, Nigel as well, who pulled off the odd moment of magic. So we had a great balance, I think, to that side within what Leon's saying there. Everybody knew the jobs, but we also had a good bit of bite about us as well.
Well, that's what it was. We, you know, we not stumbled upon, but we found the formation. Tommy Gravesen was an absolutely fantastic player, and only, you know, partway through that season in January, he had a move to Real Madrid. So, talk about the quality of player. But for the previous three seasons, we couldn't find a position for him. He couldn't seem to play midfield in a pair because he was he'd find himself running all over the place. He couldn't play out wide. He couldn't play up front and have people behind him. We couldn't find a position for him. But the arrival of Tim Cahill just gave us natural balance for Thomas to be able to find himself in position. Between him and Tim, they wanted to get in the box. One of them had balanced it off. And it just seemed to fall into place with Lee Carsley sitting in behind them. And yeah, I mean, that midfield, that the defence really, everything was fantastic that season.
It's one of those things in football, isn't it, Kev? I'm sure you've experienced right throughout your career that a team, when it doesn't have balance, it's always fighting, it's always striving. And suddenly when things click and you look around on a day, I mean, players often remember the match or the period where you realise this has clicked and you have balance. Everything becomes much easier very, very quickly. So that's what you had.
Yeah, balance is certainly absolutely what we had. And I think just adding to it as well, everyone brought something different to it, but also the dressing room as well. It was strong, and Leon touched on that pre-season trip we had away in Houston and things like this. And it's well spoken about like Moisey led us off the leash a little bit and let us go and play a bit of golf. But I tell you what, we trained hard. We had unbelievably hard week in Austria, and everyone got each other through that. But within that side as well, I say Leon played on the right a lot. He could play as a 10. Leon could have played in two or three different positions for us. And we did tinker with the system. Sometimes we went with three in midfield and I'd maybe tucked inside a little bit and Leon was on the left-hand side. And we had different ways of play. Mikel Arteta came in the second half of that season as well after we sold Thomas to Real Madrid. Mm. He gave us something different as well. So we did have a well-balanced side, but the back four was quite rigid in it was almost... Everything, you stay as a back four. If one fullback went, we'd always have Carzo sitting. So we'd always have four in place the whole time. And that's why it did work for us. Absolutely did work for us. And if I look back, I mean, I look back at certain games across that season. And the one I remember sticks out. I was only dropped for one game. I was dropped for the, I think it was Portsmouth game.
Rested, Kev.
Yeah, well, Moisey did tell me I was rested for that game. But we'd second half, once the second half of the season came, we weren't playing well. We were maybe going back to the season before. If we were winning games, we were winning by the odd goal and not necessarily. Well, most of our games were like that anyway. But we weren't playing particularly well, and we were drawing a lot of games, losing by the odd goal. And Leon scored a brilliant goal at the Gladys Street end. I think Ozzy will tell you. I was definitely subbing. I came on. I think Ozzy came on off the bench that night as well. And
no, that, don't I feel like that. Come on.
Were you sub? I don't know if you were sub. Were you sub, Oz?
Are you talking the home game?
Yeah, the home game.
No, I don't think I was sub that day.
I thought you came on, but you scored a cracker late on anyway, and we hadn't played well. It was a pretty dire performance from us, and Ozzy scored, and I think that goal changed us again because we had to kick on from it, and because we hadn't played well, and Ozzy scored that great goal under the lights. We were always great at Goodison, and that night in particular, we didn't play well, and that kicked us on to the next level, I think. And for the rest of that season, we went on. We beat Man United at home. We had some big performances from us, and there were certain spells along that season that just took us towards that playoff spot against Villarreal. Yeah.
So that's where I
think that was over. Sorry, I think that was over the Christmas period, because I think not long after that game, within days, we signed James Beattie as well, came in that January. And again, you know, you're talking about the manager time and things, right, and things falling into place. I think, it's, you know, that kicked us on again. You know, here's a new player, we all need to raise our game. And we weren't aside all the club, certainly at that time. They could go and splash the cash a lot. You know, David Moyes had to identify players. He's been criticised in the past for overwatching players, you know, to watching them 25, 26 times when you should watch them six or seven. But with the money that was available at Everton at the time, he had to get it right.
Yeah.
Four out of five times. So, you know, he did that. James Beattie came in, Arteta came in, and, you know, just gave us that bit of a push that we needed as things had started to peter out. Because as Kevin alluded to earlier, we were playing the season with 12, 13, 14 players.
I need to move things on here before the clock comes against me. So that's the season before, and you've explained really well where Everton were and how they got to Champions League qualifier, fourth in the table. Villarreal come out of the draw. Villarreal are a really good team. They will go on to reach the semi-final. Mm. That's how good a team they are. Memories of this team, people will remember Riquelme. He was brilliant that whole Champions League season. Marco Senna. Marco Senna is the player I remember most, that team in midfield. Just gorgeous. technician. Kev, if we jump in at the second leg, Villarreal have won 2-1 at Goodison. And
yeah.
If people are to remember this whole evening for anything, it's Pierluigi Collina, in his last ever game as a referee, ruling out Duncan Ferguson's equaliser. This will level the tie, this will take it to extra time, and Duncan Ferguson scores from a header, and he penalises Marcus Bent for dragging or pulling a jersey in the box. Although admitted afterwards, a decade later, in fact, that when he looked back on TV, it wasn't quite what maybe what he saw. It wasn't, you know, Bent wasn't maybe pulling and dragging the way he had thought at the time. So that is what people remember of this two-legged tie and of that night. Give us your overall sense of it and how good a side Villarreal were and how close Everton were.
Yeah, they were brilliant side. We knew we had the toughest draw of the lot when we got it. When, you know, there was a lot of conspiracies around it that because Liverpool won the Champions League the season before, we had five English teams in the Champions League, and we were given the toughest draw because of that. There's a number of things going around it. But yeah, we'd lost the first leg. We probably lost the tie at Goodison, if truth be known, because we just didn't play well. We didn't perform at Goodison. I actually played left back. It's one of the first times I ever played left back in my career. I think it actually could have been the first time I played left back in my career. So we had to go a little bit more attacking. So I went left back and he changed the team around a lot to try to get a result. And we actually played well. We did well in the game. I'd been reffed by Collina a couple of times playing for Ireland. And I always found him really personable and actually decent on the pitch. I always remember that night, for some reason, Collina was very aloof, very off. He was. I thought he was actually a bit arrogant that night. He wouldn't talk to you, very dismissive, putting his hand in your face if you wanted to have a conversation with him. And it stemmed, I don't know if it stemmed from maybe a couple of challenges that had gone in early on in the game. I don't know. We were maybe having to force the issue a little bit. But Collina, across the whole night, I felt he ref the game very badly. I really did think that. And judging him from... He was considered the best in the world at that particular time. I think he'd refereed World Cup finals and refereed bit on the big stage, Champions League finals. And we thought we had the best, and I thought he was poor that night. And I remember the incident. I'd been taken off, actually, during the game. We thought that was obviously going to take us to extra time, and there was only a few minutes left in the game. Corner come in. I think Mikel put a corner in, Mikel Arteta. And we didn't see anything wrong with it. Duncan, free header, scored, put us back into the tie, and that was it, game on. But It was heartbreaking. I remember being on the bench. It was heartbreaking, yeah.
Leon, sickening.
Yeah, it was. You know, just to expand on Kev's point, from my point of view, I'd never been ref by Collina before. So, you know, I was kind of looking forward to it as much as you can to be ref by a certain person. You know, this was a world-renowned star.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to be referee in this game. I think maybe I was the guy. I was subbed that night. I think I might have come on for Kevin.
You did, yeah.
Midway through the second half. So, you know, to get on, we felt that decisions had gone against us. It's also my first time of playing European football, you know, over the ties. So you knew the referees were going to be a little bit picky about challenges that might you get away with in the Premier League. But even more so on that evening, he didn't allow anything to flow or to be free or football to go. So, you know, to get to that position right at the end when you think the big man's popped up with a vital goal for us, only to have it ruled out for somebody else making a foul. It really was sickening. We didn't really know how to process it, and it was it actually took the stuffing out of us from what had been a fantastic season before. You know, potentially starting while that team probably took the stuffing out of us till October and November, maybe. You know, before we really got ourselves going again as a team.
Yeah, if I was going to bring up that point, because you lost 12 of your opening 19 matches in the Premier League. I think you were close to bottom at one point. Eventually you rallied and you finished 11th that year, but you lost 12 of your opening 19 matches on the back of that qualifier, Kev. So it does feel like the arse fell out of things a little bit.
It did. We had Bucharest, was it Steaua Bucharest or Dynamo Bucharest? I think we got in the Europa League as well. We didn't qualify for that. The win came off our sails big style from that result. And we generally couldn't get going. I remember we were all having meetings amongst ourselves in the dressing room. Look, we're going to get relegated here. And we knew we weren't going to get relegated realistically. David Moyes was having meetings with us. We were constantly, it seemed, having tactical analysis from games because of things that were going wrong when things were probably going wrong the season before in the same manner, but it just wasn't it wasn't transpiring in the goal off the back of it. And this is what happened to us. I mean, Leon spoke about that there, where it took us till October, November. Yeah, certainly the first half of that season was dreadful from our point of view. We didn't get going. We were poor. And that was all. It all stemmed from the Villarreal game, definitely, because the come down from our season before, which was such a high, to go to that, it was a dreadful few months. Yeah,
well, I think it was because you know, it's the fact that we'd been outplayed in the first leg, so you know, expectations were playing a top team that were going to beat the semi final. But to go there and surprise everyone, surprise Villarreal, definitely, they expected a walkover, having won 2-1 at our place. But for us to turn up and play as well as we did and should have, except for a referee and decision, should have come away with certainly extra time and who knows. I mean, that was really what took stuff that was.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, lads. Generally in this slot that we've been doing, people have been coming on to talk about nice things and fun memories. So sorry to drag you on to relive the one that got away, but it was fascinating getting the story of that 05 match in Villarreal and what could have been. Clock's come against us. Fascinating, though. Leon, thanks so much for joining us. Much appreciated.
No problem. My pleasure.
And Kev, as ever, great to have you on. Good to talk to you again. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Take it easy. See you, lads. All the best.
See ya. That is Leon Osman and Kevin Caban. We've been picking out Champions League memories of late with thanks to our colleagues at Virgin Media Sport. They are airing over 10 hours of classic games each weekend to celebrate some of those great moments and, I guess, in this case, not-so-great moments in sport. Kevin Caban and Leon Osman there.
Off the Ball on News Talk.